This is Outspoken, the podcast that's not afraid to say exactly what you're thinking.
Our names are Amy, Kate and Sophie Torber. We're identical triplets, but we often don't have identical opinions. So sometimes things can get heated.
Outspoken covers all things reality TV, influencers, entertainment and issues facing women.
That is so fetch.
Thank you.
Welcome back to another episode of Outspoken. Now, this week on YouTube, Sarah's Day revealed that she and Kurt had had a fight. Now, this was kind of used as clickbait to watch her vlog, and I clicked on it very quickly because I love hearing about people arguing with their partners, the ins and outs of people's relationships.
Mm, me too.
It was quite disappointing because it turned out that they were arguing over something very trivial. So
do you really think they're going to air like some real juicy fight on YouTube though?
I don't know. She often films herself quite candidly. So I thought maybe there might be footage of the fight. Who knows? But basically what happened was Sarah was filming a vlog that day and she had it in her head that Kurt was going to train with her and spend the day with her. However, he instead spent 3 hours setting up a TV upstairs. And she said it got to the point where he came down and you know those times when you're just passive aggressive to your partner because you feel like they should be a mind reader and that they should have known to spend time with you. So that's what she said. She said that basically it was a very petty argument, but in the heat of the moment and with her pregnancy hormones, she was really annoyed about it. And it got me thinking, when have there been times where you and your partner have had these really petty arguments that when you tell people about them, they sound so trivial and embarrassing?
See, I had one on Monday. I don't actually have to think back that far. So basically, Brandon got up early and I'd had a bit of a late night. So I just said, look, I'm just going to sleep in till 8 o'clock. Do you mind not bothering me? Because Amy and I work from home. So we didn't have any early meetings. I thought, okay, Amy doesn't want me in a grumpy mood. I'll have a bit of a sleep
in. I always tell Sophie to sleep in. I'm like, please sleep in. I'd rather you be rested.
Anyway, so Brandon said, do you want to come down and have a smoothie? I said, no, I'll sleep in. Anyway, then 20 minutes later, I copped this phone call saying, oh, I'm just reversing now. Do you mind taking the garbage bin out? And I was just like all snuggled up in bed and I thought, well, you're fucking outside. Why don't you take the bin out?
This was a common occurrence when we shared a house. I remember there were so many times when we did not get our garbage taken away because you'd hear the truck and you would lie in bed waiting for someone else to run out and do it. And
it was
no
never
one
Sophie
did it.
Either.
Well, I was less than pleasant in my response back to Brandon on the phone and I begrudgingly got out of bed and took the bin out. Well, it's annoying because we're in this.
Really?
How would you say? Well, it's not a gated community. It's cold. Like it's like three townhouses in a block. Mm. And so you have to wheel it along this huge driveway. And I was in my pajamas, all these people driving to work. It was very humiliating.
Do you know what? That just reminded me of a fight, a little trivial fight I've had. And because I can't stand being woken up in the morning if I've still got, you know, like an hour or so left before I have to get up. So like Dale will get up really, really early and I sleep with a full eye patch on. And so
eye mask, not eye patch, okay, just one eye cover.
Oh, sorry. Well, eye mask anyway. And so often I need to get up to go to the toilet. But what I try and do is I try not wake myself up much at all. Like I'll go to the toilet, then I'll come back. And I don't want to engage in any conversation or look at my phone because I do not want to be awake. I want to go straight to sleep. So Dale will talk to me and he laughs because he says I look so cute in the morning. I look like a little girl. And apparently sometimes I'll be like, stop talking to me. I need to go to sleep.
Well, that's you are nice. So grumpy. That's nice. You are so grumpy, Amy, when you are woken up.
No, he said I'm like a sweet little girl. I'm not grumpy.
Oh, God. Well, I get told I look like a gremlin. I just woke up this morning and Brandon was just staring at me whilst I was asleep and then just burst out.
That is so mean.
See, I feel like I must look so unattractive when I go to bed because I wear a mouth guard to stop my teeth from grinding. And I've also purchased these Seinfeld-themed pajamas that just look so dorky. Like, they're bright blue with all these different Seinfeld cartoons. And I'm like, wow, Reese, you're really in for a treat, me looking like this.
Now you got the ring on your finger. It doesn't matter.
Do you know what? The other trivial fight Dale and I have is over our couch. So I've spoken before about how Dale and I have very different tastes in furniture and we ended up buying this brown fake leather couch that I absolutely despise.
Yeah, I hate sitting on it. Well, I just don't even like coming to your house to sit on it.
Well, the reason we got it was because Dale said it would be easier to get the cat fur off because I've got two rag dolls that molt like
crazy.
Yeah, I know. And And it's just, oh, I just hate it. And so anytime we have like any small argument, I always bring it back to the couch. I'm like, oh, well, we had to get this couch. And I've said so many times that I am just out of the blue going to buy a new couch and just put this one on Facebook Marketplace.
Look, I've got to share my very trivial argument because Sophie and Amy were having me racking my brains to think of one because I'm just in such a perfect relationship. I'm just
joking. Oh, my God.
Turn it up. So there's this thing that when Reese and I go shopping together, when we're at the checkout, he'll want to – like it's kind of a competition between who can stack – this is so embarrassing.
Who can
stack the products better because oh we both God. Think that we're right about everything and he just won't let me do it anymore. And I – when we used to shop together, I used to be the one, like Sorry. The three of us.
Wait.
Why do you care? If it was me, I'd just stand there and go on my phone while these stacks
– Sorry, but this is the saddest thing I've ever heard. I don't even – like I just literally just throw the
is food that, is
on.
That, hold on. Is that because you need to put it – all the frozen stuff and yeah. all the cold stuff. Yeah. Oh, my God, that is so sad. Oh,
because
my God, I didn't even include that. It's so sad.
When you come home, it's easier to unpack the bag. So Reese seems to think he's better at grouping all the things together. And as people, like, I like to pride myself on being organized. And it shits me that my stacking is apparently not good enough.
Hey, isn't it your in-laws, your new father-in-law, who he will read through every single thing on the receipt and tick it off to make sure that it's in the house.
What?
And then one time there wasn't something there and he went back and demanded it.
Well, Mum said that her grandfather used to do that. So, yeah.
You're slowly turning into that, Kate. That'll be next.
I hope I don't get to that.
Well, I want to hear what trivial things other couples fight over. Head to our Facebook community and tell us.
I'm sorry, Mum, but I've never really seen what it is you actually do. PR! Yes, but PR! I PR things! I make the fabulous, I make the crap into credible, I make the dull into delicious.
Delicious!
Entrepreneur Mia Plesic has been granted an exemption to grow her brand Slick Stick in the US for the next few months. She jetted into LA this week just as the US announced unvaccinated travelers won't be able to enter following November the 8th. Amy, before we get into it, can you please tell listeners who Mia Plesic is?
Well, Mia Plesic would have to be best known for her product, the Slick Stick, which she launched last year. And it is a hair wand designed to keep baby hairs in place. It's gone off on TikTok. So Mia is an entrepreneur, business owner, and influencer in her own right with over 76,000 followers on TikTok and over 16,000 on Instagram. So this week, Mia revealed on Instagram that after 2 years, she's back in America. She said she's excited for this new chapter of her life in the US, where she'll be living for the next few months. She also said she has huge plans for Slick Hair Co. and can't wait for freedom again.
I feel like that word freedom is quite contentious considering that Mia was based in Melbourne. And while it's so fantastic that the restrictions are easing in Victoria, I feel like that would be a bit of a dagger in the heart for people who are still living with restrictions.
And do you guys kind of think it references the freedom rallies that she was attending?
That is possible because, as you say, she did share on her Instagram stories that she was a part of those freedom rallies, and she has posted contentious messages around her alleged anti-vax views. So it is very interesting, this timing, which makes me think, Sophie, what are the current rules in terms of traveling overseas?
So currently Australian citizens need to have an exemption to travel overseas. However, to enter the US, you don't need to be fully vaccinated. However, that isn't going to be lasting long because last week the US announced that in a little over 2 weeks, new travel restrictions in the US will only allow travelers who are fully vaccinated to enter the country. Also, Australians will be able to travel overseas again in November, but that is, of course, if you are fully vaccinated. Now, it does seem very interesting timing that Mia has planned her trip now and will get in before any of those new laws come into play.
It is worth noting that Mia has been very outspoken about not wanting to get vaccinated as well. So, as you said, Sophie, the timing is very interesting.
Yeah, she did share a post saying that if Australia was to mandate vaccinations in order to travel, that she would allegedly seek out a fake vaccine passport. So she's obviously decided to leave the country before she needs to do something like that.
Well, I think we do need to point out, though, even though she has shared those views online, it is unclear at this stage as to whether she actually did go ahead and get vaccinated or not. It's interesting as well because if you take a look at the US's Center for Disease and Control Prevention's website, they have a checklist outlining the current recommendations and requirements of vaccinated and non-vaccinated travelers. So they have this really good spreadsheet that shows you what you're allowed to do if you're a vaccinated traveler and what you're not allowed to do if you're unvaccinated. So those who are unvaccinated must get a test 1 to 3 days before traveling into the US. They also have to get tested on day 3 and 5 after traveling. It's also highly recommended to self-quarantine for 7 days, even if you do receive a negative result. And it's also recommended that you quarantine for 10 days if you don't get a test. It is quite interesting because it doesn't appear as though Mia has quarantined for that 7-day period, because 24 hours after traveling, she shared a jet lag hack saying that she'd taken 6 milligrams of melatonin before bed and she slept straight through until 8 a.m. She then shared herself heading out in LA on a run and then later that night out at a busy restaurant. As I said, again, it's not clear whether she is vaccinated or unvaccinated, and those are recommendations put in place.
So you don't actually have to abide by them. They're just recommended.
They are strict recommendations, but again, just recommendations.
To be honest, when I saw all the Instagram stories up, I did think it was odd, the timing of her leaving, because it seemed like something that she sprung on her audience. It's not like she showed herself packing or talked about the process. And she's quite known for talking about the process of starting her business and sharing that sort of information about her life online. So it seemed like quite a unplanned trip. It all seemed to happen very quickly, but she is staying in what appears to be a furnished apartment. So, I mean, I feel like it would be quite tricky just to get a spot like that overnight.
It was a very lavish apartment. It looked absolutely insane. There was this little lap pool outside. It was interesting though, because one follower did ask underneath her post, do you have to quarantine when you get there? And she replied saying, no, you just need to show a negative COVID test 72 hours before departing.
The thing is, I'm assuming that she hasn't shared any of this online because she's concerned about the backlash. It's better to just share the post, get on a plane, and then forget about it.
I do think because she traveled to the US and it's sort of widely known that they're quite lax with the rules. And unlike Australia, where you know you have to hotel quarantine for 14 days, I personally wouldn't know what the rules were for entering the US. And as you said before, they're only strong recommendations. So I feel like she probably thought she could fly under the radar with this move.
That being said, if she is over in the US for a number of months and wants to return back home to Australia, she will have to quarantine if she is unvaccinated. So that should be interesting.
You're pathetic. I'm better than all of you people out there. I'm better than all of you. I'm bloody resigning. I'm so sick of it. Shove it up your ass, Margaret. I'm resigning, everyone. There's my letter of resignation and there's some flowers for my dead dog. Why don't you stick those up your fat ass? Fuck off, everyone. I'm gone.
Eagle-eyed fans have spotted Sammy Robinson and Jordan Simmy strolling hand-in-hand at Bondi Beach last weekend. The sighting comes following Sammy and Jordan both revealing their single. So, Kate, can you tell us a little bit more?
Well, I feel like this is the story that just keeps on giving. As we said last weekend on the show, there was a lot of signaling that, you know, both were talking about the fact that they're single. Jordan spoke in his podcast about how he basically stuffed up some relationship and was feeling really down about it. Then Sammy came out with her vlog saying that she's having a hot girl summer. She's not going to be in a relationship probably for a year. She's just going to be focusing on herself. She then shared herself looking really good in all these bikinis, and we joked how Jordan Simmy must be regretting his decision to treat Sammy like shit, which is allegedly what's happened. So we then get this absolute nugget fall into our DMs on Instagram, and funnily enough, it happened twice. So two people sent us the same video, or similar videos, of Sammy in a beautiful blue skirt and bathers walking around Bondi hand in hand with Jordan Simmy. You wouldn't even write about it. And this was on the weekend. So this was like a real time thing. And we've obviously just seen all the breakup vlogs and podcasts. And I was shocked. But then again, should I be shocked? Because this is the typical behavior of toxic relationships.
And it is confirmed because Sammy posted some photos over the weekend and she was wearing the same outfit that she was spotted in the video.
Can I just say, I feel really awkward because everyone who listens to this podcast knows I'm a bit of a Sammy fan, and I now feel like that friend, which is not required, but that friend who's put their feelings out there about the ex-boyfriend. You've said that they're a bit of a dick. And now it's in that awkward position where they're back with the boyfriend and you're like, well, do we act like we're cool about it?
I had the same thing happen to me at work with a work friend, and she was talking to me about, you know, this awkward thing that had happened and really divulged, and I was trying to give her great advice about what she should do and how, you know, she should focus on herself. And then of course they got back together, and then you feel really awkward to talk about it.
Yeah, you're just like, oh yeah, oh that's nice. Oh, I'm really glad that you're back together, even though I've just slagged off your boyfriend.
And then you have to go to the awkward dinner or event with the boyfriend and make small.
I know, and then I feel like that person is just completely regretting telling you anything, because I've been in that situation. I was in a very turbulent, toxic relationship in my early 20s that dragged on for about 5 years, and we would constantly break up and get back together, and it was such an awkward feeling telling people, because you'd literally bitch about them, you'd have a cry, you'd, you know, get all confident and say, no, I'm not going to go back to them, and then literally, you know, things would change over one text message, and then that there's that awkward thing where you don't really want to tell everyone you're back together. And that's why I thought that Sammy really must, you know, things must have been off the fact that she did put it in a YouTube vlog.
Do you think maybe Jordan's podcast is what spurred Sammy on to contact him? Because he did seem really remorseful, because I wonder if he did it as an attempt to get Sammy back.
Well, he did put up that post, remember, saying, I miss you. And we said that that was like a cry for her to contact him. I think we also have to note they were holding hands in this video. So it's clear it wasn't like a meetup to, you know, discuss things. It was a very lovey-dovey sort of moment captured on video.
They looked really happy together. And Sammy had a big smile on her face. Do you think this is a case of them not realizing how well-known they actually are? Because I find that there have been a lot of on and off couples walking around Bondi that do get spotted and people come and tell us about it. Do you think they think that their YouTube life is very separate to real life, and even though they share their whole world with so many people, that no one's really going to notice them out and about?
Well, I think social media fame is an odd one, because majority of people probably have no idea who you are. So they probably do feel safe in that respect. It's funny because this weekend we also got a message through saying someone had spotted Isabel Clarke and Jai out and about in Sydney. So I'm just loving the fact that people trust us to tell us this information. We're like the new Gossip Girl. You know you love me. XOXO.
After almost a two-month hiatus, Chloe Zepp and Mitch Orville returned to YouTube with a vlog called What I Do in a Day with Artie Vlog. The couple took a break from the platform following outrage over their alleged anti-vax views. Kate, please tell us about the video.
Well, it went for 17 minutes, and as you mentioned in the intro there, it really centered around the couple's son, Artie. I would say 90% of the vlog was just Mitch filming Artie doing cute things, and I have to say, Artie is the cutest toddler I think I've ever seen. He was so cheeky and very entertaining. I did enjoy when Mitch allowed him to have chocolate and then tried to keep it a secret from Chloe. However, I do think the decision to film a video about Artie was very strategic, because many people have said that the only reason they continue to follow Chloe and Mitch is purely for Artie. And I think after all this backlash they received over their alleged anti-vax views, that they thought, wow, well, no one can really shoot us down if we share a video, a really cute video of us and our son, and show this insight into our life. And it was a good way also of not having to address what had gone on a couple of months ago.
Yeah, it's kind of like that thing where if you leave something long enough, you don't really have to acknowledge it. I actually think it was pretty clever of them to share that content on Artie, because I was watching it and I found myself smiling. I was like, oh my gosh, he's so cute. And you just forget about all of the other incidents.
Well, it does remind you at the end of the day that they are just people as well. When you do see that glimpse into people's family life, it does humanize them.
Do you guys think that this is signaling a move with Chloe and Mitch into a family vlogging channel? Because Artie usually is in the background of some of their vlogs, but Mitch was asking fans whether they would prefer Mitch to kind of show his own personal view of Artie rather than filming himself.
Well, I think Mitch has spoken about it before, and he was wanting to rename the Chloe and Mitch channel as the Orville Family YouTube channel. So I definitely think it might be a move towards more content centered around the family.
That being said, I feel like it almost makes the whole alleged anti-vax stance more awkward, though, because there are so many important conversations that mothers want to have about vaccinations and safeguarding your children. So I don't know. I think it makes it a little bit more awkward if it does become a family channel.
I didn't know about that. It's not like all YouTube families are just sitting around talking about vaccinations.
No, I'm not saying that, but women look to the channels to compare what they're doing and what others are doing. And I think that if they're taking an anti-vax stance, that's not going to be very popular. It's going to be more controversial.
To be honest, though, they have really backed away from taking a stance on it. As you said, over the last 2 months, they've gone very quiet in order to sweep it under the carpet. In terms of this family vlogging channel, I do find it interesting thinking back to the podcast that Mitchell did with Reese Hawkins. And it was before Artie was born, and they spoke a lot about having their children's lives played out on social media and how they felt about it. And Mitch did say that it was something he was really thinking about whether he wanted to do. It's quite clear that he's made the decision to show Artie's whole life on there.
So in some more news on the Orville front, Chloe announced on Instagram this week that her activewear line Zep is moving into its own creative space. Now, she explained that she hates the word office because it sounds very formal, like you're going to work, and that's not what she's about, apparently. So she prefers the term creative space as it's more of a free-flowing term. And I do wonder if more office spaces are going to adopt this wording, as it does change the connotation of doing some hard work at the office.
So you think that other offices, because Chloe Zepp has called her office space a creative space, are now going to adopt that?
No, Amy, I'm trying to be a bit funny.
Isn't that just a rebrand on the word office?
Like, I don't think it's
really going to take off.
So are we going to call our office space just a creative space now?
Do you know what? The term creative space almost makes it sound like the office is somewhat bigger. I don't know, like there's more room, there's more space, there's, as she said, a better flow.
Is it like a warehouse or is it just an office?
We got a little insight into what will be in this creative space. So the upstairs area will contain a pattern making, design and production area, and it will also have a common area and this area set up for photo shoots, which looked pretty cool. There weren't photos, there were just inspo shots of what she was hoping it to look like. She also said that there would be spaces to show off the collection. And I did like the fact that she actually took the time to thank her followers for making her dream possible, because I do think a lot of influencers don't acknowledge the fact that if they didn't have their followers in their lives, a lot of this wouldn't be possible.
So are they going to start manufacturing the clothes from there, or is it just the pattern that they then send on
overseas? Well, it's a creative space, so it would they'll just be
creating
designing.
The designs. Yes.
Right, okay, because I'm going to say that'd be a pretty big space if they were manufacturing as well.
It is still a little bit unclear what the vibe of this office space will be, but Chloe said that as an indecisive Libra, she will need help picking out the look and feel of the office. What do you guys think it will be like?
Well, firstly, Sophie, I feel like it is pronounced Libra, not Libra.
Oh, well, I don't know. I'm not into astrology.
But what do I think this is going to look like? I think this is going to be a very, very white office space.
Will there be an area to put your crystals out to charge or your moon
water? I think
there'll
be a moon light like Artie has in his playroom that projects the moon onto the ceiling.
Well, that would get my creative juices flowing, I think.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, but the thing is, like, I actually think the Zep stuff looks really cool, but they're all very much the same. It's just different colours. So
do you think they'll be, like, in their theatre room, a space with lots of healthy food on display?
Definitely. Do you guys think, though, that, you know, the fact that young people have been boycotting the Zep brand and not wanting to be seen having the huge Zep logo across themselves because they don't want to be identified as being some sort of anti-vaxxer. Do you think that maybe the design team will make the logo not so obvious?
Yeah, it might be made smaller. That's a really good point. It just made me think it is pretty ballsy of them to move into this huge office space when there has been a lot of criticism on the brand Zep, and as we've seen, a lot of people selling their Zep gear on Facebook Marketplace.
Well, to celebrate the announcement of the new creative space, they were offering people 30% off the collection. So I wonder if that is because they're trying to shift some of the old stock.
Yeah, I don't think they normally do sales. So that sort of indicates that it's not going too well. I do think that they would have made so much money in previous drops that they could easily afford the office space. I mean, I'm assuming it's only rented.
Well, I think it's an important issue, Brian.
You are not paid to think. You are paid to sit there and read what we tell you to read. That little political commentary of yours put us 40 seconds over time. You know what that's worth on this network? A hell of a lot more than your bullshit opinion.
I'm sorry, Brian, but I stand by my comments.
The switchboard has already received death threats.
Sorry?
Death threats.
Against who?
You.
I just didn't want to be seen as lightweight.
Everybody in current affairs television is a lightweight.
Former Bachelorette Georgia Love made headlines over the weekend after an email she sent to colleagues was leaked to the media. The news follows the reporter's much-talked-about racist social media scandal. Amy, can you tell us more?
So over the weekend, the Herald Sun printed a story entitled Georgia Loved Shamed by Colleague in Embarrassing Leaked Emails. The article revealed Georgia had sent out an email to the Seven Melbourne newsroom correcting grammar used in a news bulletin. So the email read, just a note on using the word surgery. It doesn't need to be pluralized. You have surgery, not a surgery. So you don't have surgeries, i.e. all elective surgery is cancelled. Alternatively, can use operations or procedures. Everyone does it. It's just one of those bugbears that's incorrect but has snuck into our language. Now, it's worth noting that since this whole racist Insta story scandal, Georgia was taken off reporting duties and she's been placed on the production desk. And having previously worked in a newsroom, this type of email from somebody on the production desk is so common. And I must say, it's one of the more polite emails I've read about a grammatical error. So I was really surprised when I saw this email in a newspaper article.
That's the thing. I remember slugging it out some days and you'd be so proud of the story you reported on. Mm. And then I'd cop a text message from our boss saying, oh, you pronounce kilometre incorrectly. It's kilometre. Or, you know, just nitpicking on grammar. But that's what the news is about. You've got to get it right. And as you said, Amy, I personally didn't think that the tone of this email was rude at all. It was pretty standard.
Yeah, there's currently a discussion going on in our Facebook community. And I was surprised to see how angry people were and how rude that they thought it was. And I do think it's this misunderstanding of what the journalism world is like. I mean, I remember being at uni and it being constantly drilled into you that if you do apply for a job, to make sure that you spell the person's name right, because many offices will just throw your resume in the bin if you have any sort of errors on it.
The thing is, though, I think the journalist who wrote the piece, her name's Alice Costa, I feel like she wrote this piece very one-sided, so it was very much against Georgia Love. Because, for example, she referred to Georgia's email as a grammar sledge, when personally, as I said, I feel like it's just a standard email that lots of production staff would send out to reporters.
And you know what? For me, it's worse that someone in the newsroom has screenshotted it and leaked it to the media, considering that everyone is very well aware that Georgia Love's personal brand has taken a big hit from that racist Instagram post. And it's almost kicking someone when they're down. So everyone's like, oh, Georgia Love's being so bitchy. But it's like, hang on, isn't the staff member who sent it to the media being ultra horrible?
Yeah. And on that note about the email being leaked, I do feel really sorry, because there were two reporters from the Melbourne newsroom who were mentioned. One of those was Melina Cyrus, who does read the Weekend Weather, and the other one was Nathan Templeton. So the Herald Sun journalist wrote in the article that Georgia Love had fired off this email after a bulletin which was read by well-respected reporter Melina Cyrus. The Herald Sun journalist also reported that Melina Cyrus was not following Georgia Love anymore on Instagram. So she was almost implying that the two are not friends and that there's beef there. So I feel like a lot of people would have been led to believe that maybe Melina Cyrus had something to do with this email link, which I do not think Melina had anything to do with it.
See, I really did think that by continuously mentioning Melina, that there was a link there, and, you know, reading between the lines, it was clear that she had sent the email in, which you were saying you believe is incorrect.
No, you're not going to be that stupid.
Yeah, and it's like, do you think this was a case of the actual person who sent it in trying to further hide their identity by framing someone else?
Yeah.
It's interesting, because it wasn't only Georgia's email that was leaked. It was also an email by Nathan Templeton, and he was described in the article as much-loved senior reporter and all-round great guy. So apparently he shot back at Georgia's email, according to them. So he said, hi, friends, just a note to say this note is not helpful or reasonable. Please carry on your great work and forget about it. You're all doing a great job under difficult circumstances. Keep it going. We love you. Kiss, kiss, kiss.
After hearing Nathan's email, I'm led to assume that there was a lot going on the day of that bulletin, And maybe that's why he's shot out this email back at Georgia Love, because he thinks it was a little bit unfair to criticize those staff members.
Do you know what's quite ironic, though? I feel like Georgia and Melina have been pitted against each other in the story, despite the fact that it's Nathan who shot back at Georgia.
Isn't that just a typical thing that the media does? They pit women against each other. In terms of this whole debacle, you know, we've seen that Georgia Love has been penalised for her racist post, and she's been taken off her reporting duties and put into production and isn't leaving the office.
Hmm.
What is the consequence for the person that has brought Channel 7 into disrepute and shared these emails? Because clearly this looks like there is a lot of infighting and competitiveness going on at the station, and it's not a good look for the channel.
Yeah, well, I suppose it's very hard for them to prove who actually has leaked this email, because it was sent around to everybody at 7 Melbourne, which is a lot of people. The interesting thing is, Kate, you mentioned how Georgia Love is on the production desk. Well, the Herald Sun has reported that she's going to be returning to reporting duties or on-air duties over summer. So it makes me wonder, has the person who sent this email, are they a bit annoyed by this and they're trying to bring her down? Because I'm assuming that there is a lot of rivalry in the newsroom.
Well, that being said, it could have been someone from a different newsroom, because a lot of the journos are friends with other reporters there. Anyone could have had a quick sneaky screenshot of an email and sent it off. Well, going back to your original point, Amy, I do think that you could uncover who has sent out this email, because in the journalism world, everyone's connected.
Yeah, but the Herald Sun's not going to give up their source and say, oh, by the way, so-and-so leaked this email.
Yeah,
and this isn't the first email that's been leaked. Remember, someone also leaked the original email that Georgia sent out to the staff apologising.
But should Channel 7 not lodge an investigation into how this email got out there?
Yeah, because it's quite clear that someone has a problem with Georgia and thinks that because she has copped so much flack in the media, that this is a good time to continue to pile on her and create this case against her. Well, I think that's all we've got time for today. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Outspoken.
And if you haven't already, we'd love if you could go and leave us a review.
And make sure you're following us on Instagram at @outspoken_the_podcast. And also you can join in on the conversation in our Facebook community, which is Outspoken, the podcast community.